Hola, bonjour, hello. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's possible to have a world language class where instead of teaching the language, the rules, and the vocab, you and your students use the language to enjoy learning about each other and the world? I hope your answer is a big yes, because that's exactly what you will discover inside Growing with Proficiency, the podcast. My name is Claudia Elliott, a Spanish teacher born and raised in Colombia, who is as passionate as you are to support our learners to grow in their proficiency and cultural competence. My goal is that in this podcast you find clarity, strategies, ideas, and inspiration that you can bring into your classroom the next day. Are you ready? Get comfortable while I grab my cafecito colombiano and let's start this conversation now. Hola, bonjour, hello. Welcome to a new episode of Growing with Proficiency, the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, for just hanging out with me today. And if you are coming often to Growing with Proficiency, the podcast, welcome back. And if this is the first time, my name is Claudia Elliott. I am from Colombia. I'm a Spanish teacher in the United States. And I love to share with you everything that I learned about second language acquisition and how that translates into the classroom. And today I have an incredible friend and colleague that she is so talented. She has so many talents. She's a writer. She's a presenter. She is a trainer. She's a coach. She's just an incredible teacher and she is teaching full time. So she's just like, that's it all. And we're going to talk about free voluntary reading. And the name of my incredible friend is Alicia Quintero. So Alicia, welcome to Growing with Proficiency, the podcast. Thank you so much for accepting my invitation and tell us a little bit about you.
Well, thank you so much. I am thrilled to be here. My name is Alicia Quintero. Alicia Quintero, I go by AC Quintero. Just don't call me Alice. That's what I tell everybody. I am, like you said, I'm a full-time teacher. I am originally from Chicago. I teach in Chicago. I've been teaching for almost 20 years. I can't believe that I'm actually about to, no, I'm sorry, 19 years, like 19 and a half years. And I'm also a comprehensible input author. I have several books under my belt. I am a, I guess I would say like content creator and, you know, workshop leader. I've done a few keynotes and I guess I wear many hats in the world language community, and I'm very excited to be here today because I am passionate not only about writing, but about reading in the classroom. And I want to share just from my experience what I have seen as this great opportunity for students to improve and, you know, acquire the language in a creative manner.
You know, Alicia, what I really admire about you is that you have been teaching for almost 20 years. But every time that I am talking to you or I read something that you posted, is you're never there. So you're always looking for new ways, new things. So sometimes people say, you know, you get there and you know it all and she has so much experience. But it's not. So I love to see how passionate you are because you're always discovering and trying new things. And I remember that you and I were chatting at Chicago in ACFAL, and yes, you were talking about free voluntary reading because we all know that free voluntary reading is such a great strategy, but not every time works, right? Like, so we have so many cases and events that is like, is not working for me. And yeah, you try it and you say like, I believe that this is worth it. I really need to get my students reading. So let me see how can I get that. So let's talk about how do you implement free voluntary reading in your classroom? Because I know that you have different ways and I love to hear your perspective.
So one of the things, well, thank you so much for that question. I think as teachers, we kind of go through iterations of things. And I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head where you mentioned just being sort of open and always wanting to learn, and just as teachers being curious, because we don't want to get stale. And one of the things that I feel that, I mean, I have lots of, you know, strengths and weaknesses, but I feel like one of my strengths is being able to, with whatever I'm teaching, kind of just take notes and always want to, maybe the next time, as I'm seeing students respond, figure out like, how can I make this more memorable? You know, how can I change this up? You know, how does this really align with what I want to do in the class and what the objectives are? And so, in talking about that, how I implement free voluntary reading, I kind of started off like everyone else, right? Because, you know, I came into the CI community actually from my background. So I've always really been exposed to like reading and just putting like literature in front of students. Like that was never, that wasn't new to me, but it was once I came into the CI community, it was like, oh, people were talking about having libraries and getting kids to read. And, you know, I was curious about that. And my first time trying it, it was like, okay, just get some books and have them read, you know? And it worked, you know, it was an experience. It was like, okay, this is great. But then we got to a point where I was like, okay, they need something else. You know, it's not just for me. And I don't know, maybe this is kind of just, maybe this is just my experience. I don't know. But for my kids, especially like as, you know, each year as I got new students and they had like different needs, you know, and then you think about like the pandemic, things just change. Mm-hmm. The experience memorable, not just, you know, grab a book and read. Although that's like, if that is where your students are, I think that's great, you know, but again, like my students, they really crave like something more. And I crave something more as well. So that's number one, making it memorable. I think also with my implementation strategy, I try to kind of make it like a production, although I'm not an entertainer. I wrote a whole blog post on like, I'm not an entertainer, you know, like I am the teacher. I'm not here, you know, for your sole entertainment, but I do believe in kind of like making it sort of this grand gesture because we only have like one shot, and it's not the act of reading, but it's kind of having kids or encouraging them to kind of like fall in love with reading, you know, to mm-hmm. actually want to read, you know? So I try to kind of, you know, entice them. And so with that, I do have different approaches. I teach levels 1, 4, and 5, and I've kind of been teaching those levels for the past few years. So I have different approaches, and these approaches, they do overlap. But I think that for your audience and, you know, I think for teachers, you know, whatever works for you, cherry pick, you know, I may say something, you're like, nope, that's not going to work for my kids. And that's totally fine. So I start off by just saying that I love to have sort of this access point with my students. And that's just like having some type of starting point with them. And number one, I think a mistake that I made when I first started was I assumed that all students are readers, mm-hmm. you know? And I think like, I don't know if you've had that as well, but I just, because as teachers, we're like naturally curious, right? And we are siloed in these communities where everybody reads. We know the benefits of reading. So when we come to the classroom, we kind of like imprint that on our kids, right? Absolutely. We're like, oh yeah. What I realized is that a lot of kids were not, they had different relationships with reading and with just print material in general. So I think, you know, coming to the activity, just acknowledging that, like we have so many other, like acknowledging like who you are and your status as a side, acknowledge that as well, right? Like not every student is a reader. Let me take that back because I don't want that to get misinterpreted. Not every student has the same relationship with reading, I should say. Absolutely. Because every student can be a reader. Number two, I think, starting with a bevy of short introductory activities, like that is my sauce. So when I implement free voluntary reading in the classroom, this, I have 90 minute classes. I'm going to say we probably don't read the book or start reading until the second day, because there's just so much community that I want to build. I want to sort of explore the students' relationship with reading. I want them to talk about different things with each other. So by the time they get to that book, they're psyched up. They're like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm really going to read this book and I'm going to get to talk about it and get to talk about the themes. And I think that that is, I think that is very, very important. So I normally start with, I have a slide deck, which I am going to be sharing with you. I'm like,
okay,
put in the final touches, but I like to start with, and again, I don't want to be prescriptive. I'm not saying everybody has to do this, but I always like to start with some type of activity. And I have like most of them organized in the slide deck that I call Sesión Literaria.
Mm-hmm.
And what the first thing that I like to do is just kind of get a sense of what students, what they read. And if they even enjoy reading, mm-hmm. because sometimes, again, like we don't ask those questions. So,
do you ask those questions as a PQA?
Yes. So what I normally do, and I actually have it right here in front of me because I wanted to make sure that I had it available. I do some of the activities sort of like a PQA. I ask them if they like reading. I ask them what type of books or movies they like. And this is something that they're going to do while they're, I have them get into groups and then they just talk about it. So I would say we have about maybe 7 questions where we kind of cycle through. Students are asking each other, they're talking. And at some point, I also am part of that conversation. Like mm-hmm. I get to share like, well, and I don't necessarily show them that I'm a writer. I normally just say like, okay, well, these are some of the books that I read. These are the genres that I like. So we actually go through, we talk about different genres. And because not all students have a favorite book. Like that's something that I've learned like over the years. Kids are like, well, I don't know if I have a favorite book.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have books. So I normally ask them like, what are you reading in English class? Or what's your... If we don't necessarily talk about a book or if they can't relate to a book, we end up talking about movies because that's also like, I feel like there are a lot of like literary vocabulary that can, that also pairs well with talking about movies.
I love it. I love that part because I think many times it's exactly like what you said. And by the way, I'm going to just go back a little bit because maybe if you're listening to say, you're going to be like me when I start listening to all these conversations. I'm like, what is free voluntary reading? Like, what is that? So let me go back and explain that to you. So free voluntary reading is when we have an activity or a chunk of your class and you have a library, different type of books, different levels of books, different topics of books or readings, right? Like sometimes it's not even the entire book, but different articles, different just stories, different type of text. And then you have students to self-select with some instruction from you, a book, and then you assignate a time period. It can be 5 minutes, it can be 10 minutes, it can be 15 minutes, where your students are going to sit and they're going to read independently a text. And the advantages of that is that each student is going to, select an appropriate level of reading. So, and that is key. Oh my gosh. I don't know what I'm saying. Key for their success. So the great benefit is that students will, what we have learned about second language acquisition is that reading is the number one best strategy for students to acquire language, acquire grammar, acquire spelling. And then when we read, we discover how others write. So somehow we always improve our writing. And that's why we love to do free voluntary reading. So that is free voluntary reading. And when Alicia was mentioned, it is so important because many of us, when we start with the idea of free voluntary reading and we get all the books and we do all the work, and then we just one day we stand up and say, okay, we're going to start today with free voluntary reading. Everybody choose a book that is at your level. Like if they know what that means, it choose at the level and see that we're going to read for 6 or 7 minutes. And I'm going to put some music. boom. And then it doesn't work. Like, it doesn't say, I'm like, no, kids are like, spacing out and doing this. Can I go to the bathroom? So I really love how you really plan that pre-activity where you dedicate almost an entire class explaining to the kids and doing these personalized questions where you really try to connect the activity that you're going to do with them through these six questions that students like discuss and talk about it. And I also love how many times you have emphasized this is not scripted. What works for me is not going to work for you. And I think we sometimes need that from educators like you that are sharing what works for you.
Yes. No. So my model is, it's kind of like your body when you are eating food, like your body goes in, it separates the nutrients, it takes what it needs, and everything else goes other places. Okay. So that's how I feel about whenever I'm talking about something, because I realize, your school may not be like my school, your students may not be like my students. But something important that you mentioned when you talked about the level of students or students self-selecting books, I think one of the things, and then all the everything that you mentioned about second language acquisition. So that's what we know as teachers, but the students don't know that.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So of course that, and that's one of the reasons why I add this social component, because before when we were reading, the kids were kind of like, this is boring. Like, okay, your brain, they don't know that their brain is doing backflips. Okay. They don't know that the neurons are connecting with the dendrites and they are having a party. That language acquisition device in the brain is glowing, is lighting up. It's like, yes, feed me. Well, they're not cognizant of all of that, right? And so that's why this is sort of my way of, putting cheese on the broccoli so that they can actually get the nutrients. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm very passionate about doing the social. So I did find my questions. I apologize. I actually, my printer, and teachers can relate, this happens. I printed everything out. I had my questions here, and that one page with the questions did not print out. So
of course,
my phone. And I'm just going to give you sort of a sample. And again, this is going to be in the resource that that I sent to you for your listeners. So first question is, ¿te gusta leer? ¿Por qué sí? ¿Por qué no? Okay. Mm-hmm. So again, this I normally ask depending on the level of students. Like, this is something I would do with like maybe level 2, level 3. I have a different approach for my level 1 students. ¿Cuáles son los temas que te gustan de los libros? So here I'm talking about temas and I'm introducing this vocabulary word because later, when they read the books and we have our sesión literaria, because I do really encourage them to talk about the books, they're going to talk about los temas. So my students, for example, level 4, we just kind of, we went through this a few months ago, and the students would read their book and they would say, oh, el tema es la sobrevivencia, el tema es el amor, el engaño, la relación, la amistad, So they're able to do this. And this is also a really great way to make it cross-curricular, because some of the sometimes when we're talking about books, the kids are like, oh my gosh, yeah, we do something similar in English class. And I'm like, you are using those interdisciplinary skills. Don't leave them at the door, because my kids, they love to check their skills at the door, and they come in class, and we say in Chicago, they act brand new. And that just means like they act like they don't know what's going on, and it's like, no, like, what is this? This is a book. So I always have to remind them of that. ¿Quién es tu personaje favorito? Again, this PQA type question is also getting, this is helping you to extract information from them. Because if kids are telling you like, oh, mi personaje favorito about this movie, then you kind of, you can maybe surmise that, okay, maybe they're not a big reader, and that's okay. This is just really good soft data for you. So these questions, they're like, they're double-edged sword kind of, like I think on one, or they're layered. One layer is for students to connect with each other, right? And the other layer is for me to connect with students, but also for me to explore what their relationship with reading is like. And then that is going to help me later to help them select books. Because one of the things that we know about comprehensible, about reading being comprehensible, or just the comprehensible hypothesis, is that we want students to read books that are at their level or just slightly above so that they're not frustrated, so that effective filter doesn't pop up. Or like we say with in our school, we talk about we're big readers of Zaretta Hamilton, and she says, mm-hmm. like, your amygdala gets hijacked, you know, mm-hmm. and we don't want those experiences, because that will happen. If you just send students to the library for them to choose a book of their liking, well, they may choose something and it may just be overwhelming for them. And then they're like, oh, I hate this class. I don't want to read. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling. So again, this is a way for me to kind of, you know, direct them, like, you know, I think this will be a good book for you to start off with. And then I always ask what they're reading in English class, maybe because my colleagues, I'm always talking to them about what they read. So that's always interesting. And ¿cuál es un libro o película que no recomendarías a tus colegas?
Oh, I like that.
Yes. The questions, whenever I have questions like this, like, it's so funny, because I think as a very, like, an optimist, that's like my personality. I noticed that, and my colleague pointed this out, I don't ask like negative questions. I'm like, yes. ¿Qué te gusta? And she's like, well, what about what they don't like? And I was like, oh, okay, well, yeah, let's do that. So, and this generates a lot of conversation. Again, with class, I would, you know, have them get into groups, discuss these. And after they talk with each other, then we're talking as a community.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Love
it. That's one of the reasons why, you know, kind of following this, this sort of, not methodology, but this approach, that's why it takes so much time, because it's about building community and kind of a lot of the other things that I mentioned previously.
I love that. And I really think that when you talk about, you know, tema, the topic and the personaje, the character, you yeah. are empower them with the language. And so, so many times we go into the activity and we say, now share with a friend. And they're like, right. oh, okay, I don't know how to share with a friend.
Share.
I don't know, like, what am I gonna, like, I don't have the language. So, right. like, how you structure this is like kind of like backwards design, yeah. where you're giving them these questions yeah. that to start, right? Like, to start. And then you are going to have them to come back to the questions, but talking about the book that they are reading, right? Like, so you start like in general, and then in like a small groups, and then a classroom discussion. And then you are going to talk to them about the topic. And I cannot tell you how many times in my upper levels, in my AP class, I have a student who don't know what tema is, topic, personaje is, a point of view, like, they don't know that literally, like, you know, the literal vocab that they need sometimes to understand the question that they've been asking AP or IB. So that is such a great point. Okay, so you have them with these questions, talk about it, great class discussion, and then what is the next step?
Okay, so I want to share one more question with you, because I think you would like this for your class. So this is from my upper levels, and it is, en tu opinión, ¿cuál es la fórmula perfecta para una buena novela?
Oh.
That's one of the questions. We talk about, like, formulas for, like, a good book and good movie. And again, a lot of these just generate so much discussion. And there's one thing that I left out. So while we're talking in our big group, this is an opportunity for me to have a little bit of, like, maybe a little pop-up lesson. So as students are talking, sometimes they're like, oh, ¿cómo se dice? Well, that's going to be on our vocabulary list. I'm writing that down on the board. And then, so, like, maybe next class, we can review that so that now we have that vocabulary, like the kids say, on lock. As you can tell, I'm these kids are all their little slang down.
It's coming to you. It's coming to you.
Yes, it is. So that they can actually have that, the vocabulary available. So after this, now it kind of depends. So I like to kind of, maybe I'll share just to, you know, break it up a little bit. So then I'll maybe share about, like, you know, my response to these questions. I normally like to have a book ready, and normally I don't do, I bring a book by, a Spanish language book to class, not necessarily our library, because there is a time for that, but I, like, introduce them to, like, an author. I am a big fan of Giocondi Belli. So mm-hmm. like for Isabel Allende, like I have a lot of their books. So I'll, you know, bring this to class. And then I kind of walk them. I do like a little book talk, you know, and we'll, you know, talk about the cover of the book, you know. And again, this is sort of my way of modeling what they're going to end up doing when they have their books.
I love it.
Try to like, I guess the little breadcrumbs, you know, yes. I mirror the lesson that I'm going to teach. We also talking about vocabulary, literary vocabulary. We go through genres. And so I do like a little questionnaire about, and again, this is verbal, you know, and we'll talk about, you know, qué tipo, qué género te gusta, you know, mm-hmm. los thrillers, libros de ficción, las autobiografías. And so go through that. That I like to emphasize more with my lower level students mm-hmm. because that's where they need that vocabulary, because this, mm-hmm. a lot of these words are cognates, you know, the kids are just latching on, you know, and they're learning and they're expanding, you know, their lexicons. I also want to kind of circle back to something you said about the teaching vocabulary. So for my level one kids, I would normally, I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit.
Yes.
When they actually have their book and they're reading their book. So let's say they finish, I give them like 8 to 10 minutes to read. And at some point I'll go through questions about, their character. So whatever the book is about. So I'll ask them, ¿quién es el personaje principal? So they're learning that, you know, ¿quién es un personaje cómico? Mm-hmm. So I try to, you know, use adjectives. So students sort of, they have those sentence stems and they can sort of, you know, I have like a list of them on the board and they're like, oh, well, this was a funny character. Well, this was a brave character, or, you know, and so now they have that vocabulary to actually, you know, talk about the book. And like you said, when they pair up, they're not like, persona, you know, you know what I mean?
And I totally know what you mean.
Yes, because that happens. And something else that I've done too with level one that has really worked is, so I'm really big on super seven verbs in the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. So when we start reading, they want one of their first summaries of the book is them cycling through the super, taking a character and cycling through the super seven verbs. So telling me what that person has, what they like, what they want out of life, you know? Yeah. And so again, they already have this and they're like, oh, this is easy. I thought reading and writing was going to be so difficult. So yes.
I love that. I love how you really are giving them and empower them with all the language. And, you know, when you're talking about like how lucky your students are, how lucky that they're going to go in a Spanish one class and are reading books. I mean, like, imagine how much language they're going to get reading books in level one and level two and level three. And at the end, I think they're going to just get so much more like different type of vocab and language than if it would be just reading small text, right? Like, I think when you give them a book, you give them so much vocab at their level, which right. is great. Now, when you finish this, tell us a little bit about the processes of reading. So you introduce the activity. Yes. Now they know what they're going to do. Now, how do you do it? Like, do you do it every day? They come to your class, they pick a book, they read, they do something before reading, they do something after reading. Walk us a little bit about the process.
So, so after like all of my little bells and whistles, mm-hmm. it depends on the class. So I normally, and again, I know everybody's different. Mm-hmm. I normally don't do free voluntary reading until after we've like done a process like this first.
Yes.
Because during this, like after we, you know, go over all the social aspects of it, I do introduce them to different books. You know, and then we do like a guessing game. They, you know, they talk about what genre they think it is. You know, I'll read some of the back cover, you know. And so I want to make sure that I'm setting them up for success. And this is from years of doing it the other way and kids just not knowing. But now, you know, I kind of train them. I don't know if that's the proper word, but or just model for them how it's done. So when we finally actually get to reading a book, the first thing that I have them do is they spend a few minutes looking at the cover, and then we have another social activity. They talk to another classmate, and they tell the classmate, they do sort of a show and tell with the book. Mm-hmm. So they show the cover, they talk about the cover. So this is like a picture talk type thing. Mm-hmm. And why they chose the book, you know, mm-hmm. que les llamó la atención. So that's okay. They use that language, me llamó la atención, whatever it is, you know, so they talk about that. When we first start, I normally give them about 8 to 10 minutes.
Okay.
Now, during, like, let's say, because I have a whole unit on this. So during the actual unit, I would say over the course of a couple of weeks, they are in class reading for like maybe 10 to 15 minutes. And then after their reading, they do have some type of activity to do. So the first time they read, they're talking about, the first time that they have the book, they're going over the cover and talking about why they chose this book. They make predictions, you know, because they have the back jacket, they make predictions. So again, someone outside looking in may think like, well, when do you teach grammar? When do you do this? Well, when we're doing predictions, guess what? We're doing a future tense, you know? So it's like, I try to just incorporate everything into this, approach and activity, because I know that reading is so important. Mm-hmm. I think other things are important too, because, you know, I do teach in a system. I teach in a school, I teach in a department, and there are certain requirements and there are certain expectations. But the fun thing is I get to roll those expectations and roll all those things into what I'm doing and making it more enjoyable for the students. So yes, they'll do their 8 to 10 minutes. And then the first thing is to talk about just the setting of the book, talk about the characters. Here's when they kind of start. I do a little bit of like write and discuss. So the kids are like writing about the book, and then, you know, they get with different partners and then they talk about the book. And so each time they read, it is connected to some activity. One activity is once they get maybe halfway through the book, they talk about the conflict, mm-hmm. you know? So after they talk about the conflict, sometimes depending on the level, if it's level 4 or 5, they have to talk about what they would have done if they were the character. So in the conditional, they're using the past subjunctive, you know, talking about those things. And during class, I mean, I'm taking moments to actually do some instruction, you know, so it's not like I'm expecting them to do all this stuff. You know, it's like, no, we are like, we're talking about it and we're doing it. And I'm also guiding them as well. I don't know if I mentioned themes, but they do talk about the themes. They give examples of the themes. And then the very last thing that they do, once they finish the book, is they have a conversation circle. So we get together with another group of students. They talk about their book, and the other kids have to listen attentively and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
So they get graded on the quality of their questions. So we actually go over what's a quality question, because, you know, kids, they gusta el libro.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Absolutely. If you don't model it, you're not going to get anything good.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So, it just becomes this really complete and comprehensive, you know, experience. And the kids, they walk away and they're like, oh my gosh, like I've not only read this book that was accessible to me, like at my level. I mean, they don't tell me this, but basically all the other stuff that they're telling me, this is how I'm interpreting.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's what I do in a nutshell.
Tell me a little bit about how do you manage kids finishing books at different times, and then how you manage when students don't like their books. Like, okay, I selected the book, but oh, I don't know, because the books are at different levels. So how do you manage that?
Well, so I do give them sort of a window. So okay. When they first select a book, you know, like after the first chapter, you know, it's like selecting a class, right? You know, you have the first week and you can withdraw. But then after that, guess what, buddy?
You're going to get it.
You're going to. You know, I've talked about that online. And I know some teachers are like, I don't like it. I don't want. And I personally, again, you know, they have that window. And then after that, they I do encourage them to stay with the book. And this is why. I feel like sometimes, and this is a personal thing with me, but I just think that sometimes we live too much in this frictionless society where we can just swap things out and you know what I mean? And sometimes I'm like, oh, you know what? Like it's you don't necessarily, wasn't your first choice or you want to change, but just try to stick with it, stick with it, how we can make the best of it. Now, if they like absolutely hate it and it's not their level, so I guess it would depend on the reason, if it's like too difficult for them. I have had kids say like, you know what? This book is too difficult. I think I want to change it. That's different. But if it's just like, well, depending on whatever the excuse is, then yes.
I absolutely agree with you. Okay. So you let them do the first chapter. And if you don't like it, then you can withdraw. If it's something like extreme, then we have to talk about it. But, just don't push it too hard. Then how do you do with the timing? Like how do you, because in my experience, there are some kids that choose like these big books, like they may be in that right. level and they want to do these big books. And then others love Eddie El Elefante and they want to be in this level. So it's really hard the timing for yeah. when they complete the book.
Okay. So there are two things, or several, I should say. Number one, depending on the class. So let's say with level four, like my upper level class, they have a limited number of books that they can choose. So they cannot choose. Again, this may be controversial, but they can't choose like what I call like level one,
perfect,
and level two books. Now, there are some books that are like level two that I feel like, okay, this would be okay for some of, like my students. There are very, few books that I, okay, so that's number one. So, and the reason why I do that is because I want the book to be accessible, but I also want it to be congruent with what they're learning and what the curricular expectations are, right? Because if I don't do, I don't know if an effective way for me to spend that time. Okay, so that's number one. And then I have had, so I can reference two situations, because this happened the last time I did this. And right now, let me just clarify, I'm talking about doing this like as a unit. I can talk later, just very briefly about like, doing this like as a bell ringer. I just want to clarify because I don't want people to feel like they have, like I'm doing all of this every day, the whole year. No, this was actually a unit to kind of get them started.
Oh, I love that. I thank you for that clarification. I love that. So you, the first time that you introduce pre-voluntary reading, you do it as a unit. And then after that, then you can choose to do it as a bell ringer or like a daily activity yes. for seven yes. minutes. But yes. then they already know how to do the reading. They already folk, oh my God, that makes so much more sense.
And they have recommendations because we've done the conversation circle. The kids are like, oh, okay, I may want to check out that book. I want to check out this other book. So the two situations that I had a few students who chose, actually it was one of my books, Las Sombras. I forget how many chapters it is, but I know out of the series, it has the most pages. And this student didn't get to finish the book. I think she got like within four chapters of, the ending. And I felt that she had read enough that right. she could do a lot of the activities that were required. And she did. Now, later, if the kids didn't finish, I would say, okay, the first few minutes of each class, like read your book so they can kind of, finish during the bell ringer. Because a lot of them wanted to take the books home because they're like, oh, we want to finish the book, we want to take them home. And I don't really purchase these books with my own funds. And I want to keep them, in my library. So that's
why I hear you.
And then I did have a kid who finished, who finished her book. And because they have these different activities, I just had her kind of go through, the activity. So I don't know. I mean, I guess you're going to have some variation of that. I think if it's happening on a grand scale, then yes, you may need to kind of like rethink, the books that they're selecting. If, kids are like finished, if you slate it like 2 weeks for them to read, and a kid finishes in a day, you know, a lot of kids finish in a day, then it's like, okay, maybe we need to rethink something. But yes, there were like a few kids and I just made adjustments like we do.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. But I love to have that because, you know, sometimes we are like very 1, 2, 3, 4 and yeah. we may feel like, oh my gosh, but they're not finished. And then we get stressed. But I love to, because it's not like, I mean, of course, it's about them reading the entire book. Yeah. But really what you want is to give them the experience to read with a purpose, to right. really explore the question that they should be asking themselves. But again, because they don't have that experience of being a reader, they right. may not know. So you want to expose them to the type of thinking that they should be doing by right. doing this activity. So even if the student doesn't finish the book, well, that's okay, because you can talk about the main character, what is interesting right. about this character, yeah. what is not, yeah. what is the topic, what is the theme, making predictions, making like, how would you do? Like, what would you do if you were that person? And right. all the thinking that we do behind a book that yeah. many of them haven't done. And when you model that in that first unit, then they can replicate that same process by themselves when they're doing the free voluntary reading. And this is like so smart. You are brilliant to put this. And I love how you do it. I love how you say it, because I know that a lot of teachers say, when we do free voluntary reading, we don't want to put them an activity because we want them to love reading. But then you say, yeah, but I'm with real kids, you know, and sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, I mean, that's great. Like, you know, that would be great. And if that works in your class, go for it. But sometimes it just doesn't, especially when we have a group of students who haven't had the experience of reading. I think such an important thing.
That's the other thing. I had last year, I had a kid, while we were doing this activity, I uncovered that this kid was reading below level, you know? Mm-hmm. And I felt like, again, because I'm circulating around the class, I'm talking to kids, and, you know, I was like, okay, I know that... I know the type of book that I'm going to recommend, you know, for this kid, because I don't want him grabbing a book. Yeah, you do have to, take into account all of those things. And here's the other thing that we have to take into account. A lot of kids don't read physical books. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids, if they are reading books, they're reading Kindle. So they're not physically like holding a book and actually Well, that's something I didn't mention. They have to dock their phones. They can't have their phones during this time. They have to dock their phones, because the moment something gets difficult, they want to just be on the phone. Let me look at TikTok. Let me,
let me disappear. Give me my medicine. My medicine is my phone.
Yes.
Okay, Alicia, tell me a little bit about the benefits. So since you started creating this specific unit for free voluntary reading, what are the changes that you have seen in your students in their habits for reading?
So I think that we know the research, right? And we know what happens. But one of the things that's always a surprise to me is how it happens, right? So we may have this idea of like, okay, student picks up a book, input, output. And I just find it amazing what kids latch onto and what they remember.
I love it.
And in conversations, talking to them, like I remember a couple of years ago, this kid, he read a book, and I'll never forget that I asked him to tell me a little bit about the character. And he said, "El papá muere." And I never talked muere. We never really talk about death, you know. But because a lot of these books, they come with glossaries or the words are glossed. And then I tried to challenge him. And I really think I don't know why I asked him that. But I looked at him. I said, "Por qué?" And honestly, I remember my frame of mind was like, you know, this was going to be an opportunity for me to teach them how to like extend and uh-huh. give reasons. But he showed up. He said, "Porque tiene diabetes." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, yes." But not only that, like in class, I noticed that when we're having conversations, like outside of the book, like we've moved on, we're doing other things. you know, and kids are just, they, you know, their brains are like sponges. They remember things. And I always say, I always ask, I say, where did you learn that word? Because I'm very interested. And it's like, oh, I learned it in my book, you know? Absolutely. So, yeah. So I think that's, you know, the benefit is the whole idea of, you know, learning a second language and all the benefits that that brings. And now their brain is accommodating another language, you know? And yeah, it's just beautiful. So I would say, I don't know, the reading, it definitely helps. It improves their writing, makes their writing a little bit more cohesive. But because I'm very big on conversation, like my class is very social. Like we talk all day to the point where sometimes I'm like, okay, we got to stop. Cause you know, they like the cheese. So I see it a lot. I see it coming through in the conversations.
I love it. I love it. I really like that. And I really like how you have been able to combine the reading, which is like a very independent activity, with the conversation. Because I think those two are like super powerful. So one, we have the reading that we do it by ourselves, but the fact that we turn and we talk, and we have done, like I did a podcast with Tang Wing when he's talking about talk, read, talk, write. And he's talking about the importance of talking, because talking helps us process the information. And a few days ago, I read an article of Edutopia saying that research is showing that when you talk about what you just read or listen, you will like acquire more, like it's going to be in your memory, long-term memory, more often.
You know that from talking, though. Here's the thing. This we can, listen, I knew this from high school, okay? No, seriously, because it's so true. Was when you talk about things, and I remember having conversations with people, and I know sometimes it gets, you know, it gets a little complicated, but at the end of the day, when the ideas that you have, and you have them in a second language. So here's the thing: when you are speaking a second language, you are at the top of Bloom's taxonomy all day. You're synthesizing all of that stuff. And so, and I noticed a lot of kids would just say different combinations of things that they never, like, they're like, I don't know where I learned this. And I'm like, yes, that is your brain working. That's your brain supplying. And it really is important, you know, and kids like to talk and they are social. And even if there were not social benefits to like reading and doing all stuff, I would still do it because it gives, it helps you with buy-in from the kids.
Because yes, absolutely.
They want to express themselves. That's why we have all the social media.
They do. And one of the things that I have, yes, absolutely. One of the things that I have found is every time that I survey my students and I ask them, what are the activities that you enjoy the most? They will say small group activities. Like they love to talk about it. Like it may be one or two that don't like it. I get it, but most of our students will benefit from that social interaction. So I love how you combine free voluntary reading with all these class discussions. Now, what about when they read your books, Alicia? Because I know that you have your books. Isn't like something weird when they pick up your books? What do you? And I think it would be like so great for you because it's like, I am the author of this book.
Yeah, well, so here's the funny thing. So for years, I never told students that I authored some of the books. I just, you know, and kids would say, oh my gosh, this author has the same last name as you, you know? And I would go, what a coincidence. Because, and the reason why, and I know this is kind of weird, but I just never wanted them to feel like I was forcing my book on them, you know? And sometimes, like, for example, like this new book that I just published last year, El Portal, I haven't even used that in class yet because I'm over this, you know, one day, and I will use it in class, but sometimes I just feel weird. Like, you know, my name being written on the book and I'm the teacher. It just feels weird, but I have been coming out of my shell a little bit. And the kids I had this year and last year, they're like, is this you? You know, they're pointing. And I'm like, yes, you know, it is my book, you know, and it's, it's, you know, it's interesting because they'll pick the more gossipy books and they're like, Senora, you know, and I'm like, this is teacher Quintero. That's writer Quintero. I have to explain it in like Beyonce terms because Beyonce, she's like, well, she's Beyonce when she's out in public, but when she's on stage, she's Sasha Fierce, you know? So I have to say like, that's my writing persona, you know? But I try to, you know, I acknowledge it, but I, you know, like if they pick a book and, you know, they read, like, I want to know what they think, but then at the same time, I don't, you know?
Yeah, just, I hear you. I hear you. Know? You. I hear you. I totally hear you about that. Now, let's say that a teacher wants to start doing free voluntary reading. What would be the number thing, the first step that these teachers should take to do free voluntary reading?
Okay, so I'm going to assume this teacher already has a library because if they yes. don't have a library, okay. Well, I think the first step is bringing books to class and maybe perhaps doing like a few activities around the books, like maybe grabbing one of the books and doing like a book talk, even reading to the students. That's something else, depending on the class, something else that I would do if we're just starting out. Like I'll introduce, you know, the books. I'll have them look at the covers and with the activity that I referenced before, they have to write the title of the book and the genre that they think the book falls under, you know? And it's a nice little activity because they're like, oh, this looks like fiction.
Yes.
It's a easy book. And then I'll just read like the first page. And as I'm reading, again, depending on the class, I may have like a listening sheet for them. So they're circling the words that they hear. Okay. Or whenever they hear a cognate, I have them do this, you know, so kind of like a child activity, you know, and then later I ask them questions like, wow, you know, I heard a lot of noise because once they heard the cognate, they actually, you know, beat a drummed on the desk or have them stomp their feet. You know, normally this works really well with the lower level classes. And I like to show them like, well, because I heard all this noise, that means that you are understanding this book, you know, and I think that you all are ready to read, you know? And so that's kind of how I would, you know,
I think that is so clever. And I agree. I think we cannot everybody can do whatever they want to do. But I think when we do free voluntary reading, we need to understand that a lot of our students will not have experience reading. They yes. don't know what it's supposed to do. They don't even know how to select the right book for them. So right. I think whatever we do, we should really spend some time yes. getting that reading experience to our students.
Yes. Also, I just thought about this too. When I first started doing free voluntary reading with one of my classes, I let them choose books in pairs.
Mm.
So they got a partner. They chose a book together. Now, if they wanted to work by, I would say out of a class of 30, maybe 3 kids said they wanted to read on their own because they're probably were their fast readers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But read, and then one person would read and then the other person would just explain, do a little summary in English.
Oh, I love that.
And, oh my gosh. They love this because what happens is, you know, may not vibe with that, but I noticed that a lot of kids, when they're learning the language, they're leaning on their first language for mm-hmm. understanding. They're like, oh, you know, even when you give them questions, sometimes they're like saying the question in English, which makes sense. I would do the same thing. If I was learning German, I would do the same thing. And so I just, instead of fighting that natural progression, I said, you know what, why not just fold it into what we're doing? And I had them do it in pairs. This worked so well. The kids absolutely love this. This was for my level one. I remember when they graduated, there was this one kid, she would always come back to my class. And when she was a senior, and she would say, do you remember that time we would read in class? You know, because she would stand on a stool and she would read and, you know, have this kind of Shakespearean experience. And yeah, so it, that is, I think that would be a really great way for them to ease into it and, you know, partner. And then later throughout the year, you know, maybe the first time they do it in partners. And the second time, then they do it kind of like on their own. You know, you
can take
training wheels off, so to speak.
I love that. And by the way, if you don't have a library and you say like, oh my gosh, how can I put together a library? I'm going to put in the show notes different ways. Like I use Donors Choose to get my first libraries. And I have in the state of Florida, we have like another place where we can ask for people to buy us books. And sometimes your parents, if you are allowed in your school to do that, sometimes you have like a wish list in Amazon. That's what I do. And I send it in my syllabus with the parents. But there are also great stories. Like I think Martina Beck has something that is called, revista literal, and there are stories that other students have written and they're free. So, you know, we need to become a little bit creative because, you know, we cannot spend all the money to buy our own libraries. I have spent a ton of money, but it's really important that we get that first step and then start like that. Okay, Alicia, tell me about your projects. I know that you had 2 books last year. Tell us a little bit about that. And then what is coming for this year for you?
Yes. So last year, I published El Portal y La Revelación. Mm-hmm. So like mysterious is like level 3 on that. And I am working on a few projects this year, but here's the thing. I don't know which one I'm going to actually launch because they're also exciting, but I do have to pick a lane. So I would just say stay tuned. There is something coming for me. And back to your point about stories, I also have in my teacher store, I have lots of stories as well. So if you, and I have some free stories, I have some freebies there, but if you are challenged with like building a library and you're just like, oh, but I really want to get the kids reading. You can check out teachers. What is my teacher store? Hold on. Oh, Teaching Spanish Made Easy. We're just talking about how we're doing all teachers teaching Spanish Made Easy. And I mean, there are lots of different stories, lots of different creators too with comprehensible stories that I use as well. So that's kind of how I started at first. I was like, well, we didn't really have the budget for a library. So I had some books, but I would like supplement with stories. And it was nice because, you know, you can just print them out, use them with the whole class. The kids love reading aloud. I know like sometimes a lot of teachers like to do like silent reading, but I don't know if it's just this year and last year, but they absolutely love reading. They're just like, we want to read out loud. So, and it's a nice class community, you know, activity. So
I love it. I love this, Alicia, thank you so much for sharing this with us. I truly believe that if we can get to do one thing in our classes, that should be reading. Like if the rest, great, you know, everything. But I think reading really gives our students such a great skill for their own life. And then it's really incredibly effective in terms of language acquisition. So Alicia, thank you so much. And I know that I'm going to put so many resources. So I want you to click, if you're listening in Apple or Spotify, I want you to click and look at the show notes. And also in my blog post, growingwithproficiency.com, I will type a post for this. And then in the blog post, I'm going to add all the links for all the resources that Alicia is sharing, all the places where you can find her work, and also find additional places where you can get maybe some books for you, some and resources that you need to put together your library. Alicia, anything else that you want to share with us? Thank you so much for coming today.
Well, thank you. And I just hope that everyone continues to grow with you in proficiency.
Oh, thank you so much. So if you have any questions about this podcast, if you are trying free voluntary reading and things are not working for you, please just tag me, send me your questions. I love to continue the conversation because I love the talking. And I'm like the students. How I process information is by talking. So at the end of this month, the last Monday of every month, I will be live in Growing with CI, our Facebook community, answering all the questions, including questions about this episode. So thank you again. Have a great rest of the week, and I will talk to you soon.